Now say this like you believe. You say the word of God is coming forth.
The word of God is coming forth.
It is entering into my heart.
It is
teaching me the way of the Lord.
It is
setting me aright.
I am learning how to pray.
And my prayers are effective. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's declare God's word again. Say,
in the name of Jesus.
My words
contain the power of God.
They set my life aright. Say, I speak the word of God alone.
And my body is affected.
I am being renewed day by day.
By the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Say, life is working in me.
Death has no more power over me.
Because life is working in me.
Life is working in me.
From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
Life is working in me.
Everything I put my hands to
prospers
because life is working in me.
Say, I'm not controlled by the circumstances.
I live independent of circumstances.
Because my life,
my life
is inside God
because I am in Christ.
Therefore,
physical things
do not have power over me.
Say, the economy of the nation
does not have power over me.
My economy is from heaven.
My supplies are from heaven.
Say, my healing is from heaven.
My life is kept in Christ.
Hidden in God.
My life
is hidden in God.
Satan has no power over me.
He doesn't have any dominion over me.
I'm walking the will of God for my life.
I'm walking the path of righteousness.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's declare it again. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Say, therefore, I walk in the will of God all the time.
Say, the will of God is natural to me.
I walk in the will of God
all the time.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, the Lord is good.
I said the Lord is good.
All right, let's open our Bibles. Let's continue from what we wanted to do last time, but which we were not able to because the Holy Spirit led us differently. And I'm happy for what we discussed last time concerning the issue of how Christians are supposed to do their fasting, why it is necessary. Even though what I planned to do last time was slightly different, but I like the way it turned out because we were able to give direction to many people that might be confused about some things. Let me just review for a minute some of the things I said. This is what the power of prayer is. We don't change the mind of God. God does not change His mind, really. What we do is to align ourselves with the mind of God. Did you hear what I said? We are the ones that are changing. God is not the one changing. He doesn't change. If I like what Miles Monroe said many years ago, I listened to some messages. He said, how do you spell progress? He said, progress is in returning back to God. That progress is not the ability to move. Progress is the ability to return and come back. That the problem that people have moved away from God, and that is why they regressed. That if they want to progress, what they do is to discover God again. And that is how you spell progress, is returning back to God. He gave a number of words that God likes the word re. He talked about redemption, all right? Revival, renewal, and then restoration, you know, stuff like that. And he talked about returning. So he said God does a rework. So progress is in returning to God. What we do with prayer is not to change the mind of God. God's will, that is His mind. You can't change it. God's will, that is His mind. You can never change it. What you can do is to align with it, or you may, because of your errors, be separated from it. It will not appear as if God wanted to punish some people and then He changed His mind. The Bible says that God repented from the evil He had prepared against the people. Actually, the Bible says that God does not desire that anybody should perish. Are you getting my point? His will from time was that nobody should perish. So the time that the people wanted to start perishing, that was not His will. What they were now experiencing was His judgment, was His anger, was the wrath of God that was now about to manifest. So when they returned back to Him, God just rearranged. No, God was always where He was. It was them that now rearranged and fitted into the original will, which was that nobody should perish. See what I'm saying? When it's as if God says, okay,
to the house of Eli. I said to your household, your father's household, they will serve before me as priests. Now, far be it from me. It wasn't as if God changed his mind. His mind was always there. But when the man moved away, when the family moved away from the honor of God, then what happened that they were now far away from the will of God. So now said, far be it from me now. That is, I can't do it in your life. You are too far. He said, the hand of God is not shortened that it cannot deliver. He said, but our iniquity has separated us from the will of God. Are you getting my point? The will of God is clear. It's there. So what do we do with prayer? It's to get back to what God wants to do. Let me emphasize it again. The will of God is clear. The will of God is different from the plan of God. I'm about to start preaching what we preached last year, but we can't preach these things enough. We keep on saying until people are clear. The will of God is different from what? Some people are saying that, ha. Huh. But many of us, we've explained it here so many times. The will of God is always, it doesn't change, but his plan changes. He has an ultimate plan, that one does not change. What I mean is this, his ultimate goal, that you and I be conformed to the image of Christ, that one does not change. But then how do we attain to that? That one changes all the time. Not because he changes his mind, it's just that he tries to adapt the plan to what we can handle. He says, go into the promised land. He said, let's not go by this way. Why? It's the shortest way, but when they see war, they will run back to Egypt. Can you see that? He made a plan, gave it to Moses to accommodate their weak hearts. Then when they got to the edge of the promised land, enter now, they said, we are not able to enter. That's it. Another plan was rolled out. What's the plan now? 40 years in the wilderness. What is the purpose? Until all the men of war will have perished out of the camp. There was a time, God, he said, let us make man in our image. He made a man. And he said, behold, it's very good. Then the day came and he said, this man is not good. One day, he said, it was very good. Next day, he said, he's not good. Why? Because good has to do with purpose. Before that, he could handle everything all by himself. But now they had to go to a phase of multiplication, which God had decreed from the beginning. He said, this man can't do it by himself. So he said, it is not good that the man is alone. So he made the woman for the man. So he now said, the two of them shall become one flesh. Male and female, I have created you. Whatever I have joined together, nobody should put asunder. That's the plan of God. That was the closest. No, not that, that was not the plan of God. That was the will of God. So the plans are rolling out. You will get the wife. No, you will see the wife. You will go and meet the father. The father will release. And everybody will agree. The society will see you people. And then marriage has begun. And that will be like that forever. Then an enemy has done this. You know what I'm trying to say? That was the wheat that God sowed in there. Men, because of their loss, agreeing with Satan, began to sow tears. Next thing you know, a man will get up, pick one wife, pick a second one, say, I don't like this one again. Drive her away. After a while, polygamy became normal. Everybody thought it was like that from the beginning. It was never like that from the beginning. A man doesn't like his wife again, drives her away. And the Israelites were used to it. They had lived like that for a long time. They were so used to it. Then one day, they went to Moses. Thank you for all these laws, though. But what do we do when the woman is giving us headache? When she will not stay where you say she should stay, behind his heart, he said, and when I'm eyeing the next woman down the road, he won't say that one to Moses. He will put the blame on the woman. The other side of the desire of his heart, he won't say it. God looked at all of them and said, Moses, if there will be no riot in the camp, this is a new plan. The will of God was always clear. Moses said, God told Moses, to prevent fighting in the camp, before these people, all because of women, run back to Egypt, write them a new plan. What is the plan? If a man wants to divorce his wife, he shall give a certificate of divorce, and then he cannot take her back again, and this and that. I say, thank you. Hey, what did you think? Eliab, I was wondering. Shammah was telling me I couldn't divorce that woman. For what? Okay, Moses, all correct. You are the guy. We are loyal forever. They carried that for hundreds of years. Then Jesus came. who was the personification of the will of God. And he said to them, in the beginning, it was not so. They said, well, you mean we can't divorce our wives? Moses said we could. He said, he that made them male and female. Then how come Moses said we could? He said, it was because of the hardness of your heart. That's what I mean by the plan changes. The plan is adapted. All the things you see, some say the law of Moses is the law of God, is a lie. The law of Moses is inferior to the law of God. Jesus said, you heard it said, an eye for an eye. Thou shalt love your friends and hate your enemies. He said, that is not God. He said, that is not of God. He said, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. He said, that one is the law of God. The law of Moses, it was a stepping down of the will of God to the low level of carnal men who were finding it hard to walk with God. I wanted to just accommodate them. In the beginning, it was not so. I want to digress a bit again. Some of these giddy, you see churches preaching? If you don't tithe, if you not prosper, it's just a joke. It was not so at the beginning. He died for all, the Bible says, that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but live for him that died and rose again on their behalf. If indeed they love God, they don't know how to apportion money for God. Now this is your portion, you take it. This is my portion, I spend it. No. They have a spirit of Christ in them. All of the things we hold on. These were the ways by which God said, listen, small boys, learn some generosity. God had to be telling them, if this food is remaining on the farm, leave it for those who don't have. So I have to tell you that one. Your common sense couldn't tell you. Yes, because they were fallen men. Christians want to hold on to those things. We look at those laws of Moses, we decipher the spirit inside many of them. There's a spirit. And that is the spirit of the will of God. So that's why Jesus came and he said, your righteousness has to surpass that of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were keeping the law to the letter. And they were keeping it beyond the letter. They wrote new letters for them. But sometimes Jesus will come and he will seem to break some laws. But he never broke the spirit of any law. For example, on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees will have written their own things. On the Sabbath, I listened to Rabbi Zacharias, and he reported what studies a rabbi did to show what was work on the Sabbath day. Because on the Sabbath day, you shall do no work. So they said, what is work? After all, if my handkerchief falls to the ground, and I pick it up, that is work. They wrote all kinds of rules. In fact, the Jews, in fact, I was listening to, was it Paulson, said that when you get down to Israel, they hire Gentile maids. Because as Jews, they can't kindle fire on the Sabbath day. So the Gentile will kindle the fire, then we will eat the food. Can you see the foolishness? See the foolishness? They hire people to press lift button. A man wants to climb a lift, to press the button will be walking on the Sabbath day. See, they miss the spirit. So Jesus will come. On the Sabbath day, you see a woman that was bound. And Jesus said, the Sabbath day was for freedom. Loosening the woman on the Sabbath day cannot be against the will of God. They said, no, if you want to get healed, come and get healed on the normal day. Jesus said, Sabbath is for healing. The reason why God gave Sabbath was so you could heal. The reason why God commanded Sabbath was after laboring for 6 days, your body will have time to heal. How can you not tell the people they cannot be healed on Sabbath day? They miss the spirit. That's what I mean when I say the plan of God changes. So God gives them a plan just so that he can express as much as is possible of his will towards mankind. So the plan seems to change when people either move away from God or they move closer back to him. When Jesus came close, in fact, in unity, he started doing things that were making them quarrel. On Sabbath day, he wasn't going around laboring the field, but he ministered the word of God and healed the sick. He understood the spirit. I hope you're getting my point. Back to what I'm trying to explain. What is the purpose of prayer? It is not just to get our needs met. It's to realign ourselves to the will of God. That is what it is. That is why every day we can't stop praying. Because the will of God I understand today will definitely not be as much as the one I will understand tomorrow. And that is why it is possible to confess sin all the time. When you talk about Christian confessing sin, I ask you, it's not about sin consciousness. But you're not confessing the same sin, no? Every day you are confessing the same sin, the same iniquity. That is ungodliness. The sin I'm talking about is that when you discover something new, like the other day I was preaching here, that if you are selling something, if you make an agreement, you can't change your mind. Many people, the fellow sitting here that day started scratching his head. He didn't know when he started scratching. That this is a new level of Christianity. You go back home and remember how you've been breaking agreements because it didn't favor you. Then you repent. That's how it is. I told you once, I was just reading my Bible, and it said that you must not curse a deaf man. It's not as if God wants you to curse people who are hearing. You get my point? But I was trying to make a point. Never take undue advantage of anybody's disability. And I was walking in a place where I had a man that was visually impaired. And people were making signals when they don't want him to see something. After that day, when I go and they make signals, I shout it out. When they do me like that, I say, did you call me? What did you say? No, don't do me like that. You want me to break the law of God? Are you getting my point? We just discover a spirit. Sometimes you find out that you may think that because a man is not rich, all right, you don't realize that God puts respect for age ahead of respect for wealth. He forbids you from respecting a man because he's wealthy. But there are things he says you should respect. He said, if you see an aged man, you rise up. You may have come in a society where you don't realize such things happen. Let me give you an example. One of those days, my wife came home. This was long ago, shortly after I came to Enugu, about the first year or two of our marriage. Just talking about this confession and this, how we can confess sins. Sometimes we don't know. Like, that's why Elihu said, that which I see not, teach thou me. So that day she came, she was telling me people were discussing in the office that somebody said he quarreled with his father. How do you quarrel with your father? You know that kind of thing. She was going on. So when she finished, I said, but you quarrel with your husband. She looked like what? I said, it's the same iniquity. A young man quarrels with his father. A young wife quarrels with her husband. Both of them have no respect for authority. Not now. That was, like I told you, about 14 years ago, shortly after I came to Enugu. Now, sometimes we get to know some of these things. That's what they call confession. You get back home and say, no, I have to step up another level. That is what prayer does for us. Every day we keep on getting better. Listen, we are not getting God to change his mind. We are the ones changing. Like Miles Morrow said, we are returning. We are getting closer to what God wants us to be. You can't do that by strength. You can't do that by your own power. No, you can't. You can't. That's why he said grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. What do we do in the time of prayer? We are tapping into grace. We are tapping into what?
Grace.
We tap into grace. What is grace? It's the power of God that comes into our lives so that by the power, that power working, God can do what he wants to do inside us. I was listening to a man of God teaching about evangelism. That was over the last few days. And he said some things. I said, my God. He said people have the, it was David Pawson. He said that people have the great commission. They don't have the great compulsion. I like that the way he expressed it. What's the great commission? It's a commandment. Jesus said, go out and preach. He said, but what's the great compulsion? He said, there is an anointing of the Holy Spirit. I said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So that when the power fills inside you, they don't need to beg you to talk. The talk will be talking you. He said, two things make men talk. He said, everything has an outlet valve, overflow outlet. He said, God has given us one. That's the one in front of your head like this, your mouth. He said, two things make the thing run. He said, both of them is called spirit. Now, I'm the one using the word spirit now. He said, either you have too much wine or you have too much Holy Spirit. That if a man drinks, you don't need to be told. You just be talking, releasing all his secrets. I won't mention names. There was one radio station we used to do broadcasting on that time. I won't tell you whether it's in Enugu or outside Enugu. I won't tell you anything. So one day we're having a problem. So that was when we stopped. So Yinka went and met our marketer there. But he saw him when the man was just coming back home in the evening. The man was filled with the spirit. The kind of spirit is a different matter now. So he said, this is our problem. Yinka was talking to him. The man opened his mouth and started talking. That's when we realized that all the money we had been paying. Oh, Father in heaven. The money had been going all kinds of directions. So what the man was just talking, telling Yinka everything happening in the station, how they shared the last money, when MTN paid, where the money went. These were just collecting money and shared. I said, after that, I said, let's go. We are not doing business with these people. Again. Why? Because he was filled with the Spirit. The apostle said, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that go and check it in the book of Acts, in the upper room, they didn't go out. People came to them. That they were so full. People said, what is going on there? They didn't go out to the street to go and preach. The street came to them and said, what's going on? And then they declared the word of God. That's what you call grace. Grace is that which just makes obeying God's word automatic. If you don't obey, you'll be like, why am I not obeying? Obedience will be pushing you. That is what is called grace. That same thing gets results of all kinds in your life. It gets the results of obedience to the word of God. What am I going to emphasize? We tap into grace with what? Prayer. Through prayer. Grace and truth is multiplied to us. Are you getting my point? That's the way it works. When we are praying like this, we are tapping into grace. Listen, there's no economic problem that's going on out there that the Lord did not know far ahead. You know that. Sometimes he reveals them to some people. Other times he doesn't bother to say anything specific to anybody. But it just makes you, it causes you to take actions, sometimes without you knowing, that sets you in a proper place to be ready for the calamity to come. That is grace. Sometimes Christians emphasize so much, you have to hear what God is saying to you. Sometimes God speaks to you. Other times he doesn't speak to you, he just handles you. I don't know how to say it again. Is that word okay? He just handles you. Some people say, God said I should move from here to here. Sometimes God won't say, your friend will just say, come, let us go here. As soon as you go there, you will discover that it was good I left that place. Let me quickly drop this one for you. That's how you have been delivered all the time. Somebody hear the voice of the Spirit for deliverance. Don't worry about it. You will be delivered all the time. Say amen.
Amen.
You will just walk away from a construction site that's about to collapse. And sometimes you won't even understand. Your stomach will just do, guys, I get to use this thing. You run. Where's the White House here? You run. As soon as you run away, just the bridge will just collapse. That's what you were standing on just now. Holy Spirit didn't have to say to you, my son, that shall depart that bridge. Days are numbered. Many, many take off, sail on the bridge. It's happened to me before. I've told you the testimony. I woke up one day, and I just had this, my stomach just tightened as if it was paining me. So I got up and went to the toilet. By the time I came back, my ceiling fan had fallen on my pillow. Yes, I was lying down there sleeping. One day, I just said, get up. And how did I know? Because if you see, the angel smote him, King James says, on his side. But when the angel smites you, you don't know what it feels like. I'm talking about what? Grace. I'm talking about what?
Grace.
We're talking about what?
Grace.
Grace. Grace. That's what comes into our lives when we are realigned. When we are realigned. All right? That's just a way of introduction. Let's continue from where we were last time. If you remember, we're reading the book of Matthew chapter 14. Now, what I want to explain, because we're talking about praying, when you have, people talk about the new year, that's two meetings ago in this school of prayer, we talked about how to handle preparation for a new season. I remember I emphasized that seasons don't change because dates change, all right? Just because somebody says it's January 1st, does not mean a new season in your life is starting. It doesn't mean that. Your seasons change when you have accomplished the purpose of the previous season. Let me say that again.
Your season will change when you will have accomplished the purpose of the previous season. And my best example I use all the time is academics. You go to university, the way it is arranged, they'll tell you this number of credit courses you're supposed to take, the right number of credit load you will carry for your first year, your second year. You cannot say, I'm now in my third year, even though the calendar says you're in your third year, but university does not recognize you're in the third year except you've accumulated enough credits in the first year and the second year. And they say, okay, now you have qualified. You have passed the core courses, the mandatory courses, and a few electives. You cannot take third-year courses. That's how life is. All right? Nobody should go around telling, my season for change has come. How do you know? Until the change happens, you don't know whether it has come or not. What you just do is that ask your in prayer, you ask the Lord, what am I supposed to learn in this season? There are people that say, I'm going to have to start my own business. There is a proverb from Western in Nigeria that I like to quote all the time. They say, the man that rejects a kind of suffering that is not big enough to reject is only signing up for a bigger one. If they say, sweep this place, say, no, I can't sweep. Say, make sure you are big enough to say, I can't sweep. Because if you refuse to sweep when you are supposed to sweep, you will start clearing something else. Are you getting my point? Now, latrine, you're going to begin sweep after that. That's what they mean. That before you say, this one is smaller than me, make sure you are really big enough. That the man that's not big enough to say this is too small, if he does it, then he only signs up for more trouble. And I remember one story that our pastor told one day about his brother. He was working for one company in Abuja. And they promoted, then the boss, somebody retired or resigned, and he felt he was the next person in line. He now took somebody else from somewhere else and put above him in the office. He said, insult! He took a piece of paper and resigned. He said, I can't take this. A few years later, he was living in an uncompleted building, using wrapper to cover window. Why? Because he said, no, I am bigger than this. Only God has the right to tell you what you are bigger than. Are you getting my point? I mean, don't just resign a job because you are angry. Let me just tell you, never resign a job because you are angry. Before you resign a job, there are a number of things. One, you have a better one. Two, you have serious plans that are working. Three, the Lord spoke to you. My son, thou shalt follow me. I'm serious. And don't do it. Don't just wake up in the morning and say, I'm angry. The way that man talked to me, is it because of work? Yes, it's because of work. You just see people just, and God will be looking at you. God will let hunger teach you a lesson. You know, I realize why the Lord invented hunger. It's to teach all these strong-headed men lesson. What am I going to say? It's when we fulfill the requirements of God in one season that we move to the next. And he moves us by himself. You know when God is moving you. You know when the Lord is moving you. He moves you by himself. Not the man gets angry. The wrath of man does not work the will of God. The Lord will move you by himself. You open a door, it will be clear. You have to step into this door. It will just be clear. Sometimes he gets you fired from one place to establish in another place. He does that. Some will just say, no, this is not the kind of car my mate is driving. No problem. Go and buy the type your mate is driving. There's no wahala. That's when you realize that for your mate to drive that amount, they have some financial mozu that they're using to steer it. It's not by desire. Just wake up in the morning. This is not what my mate... Look, anyway, let's not go to the mate matter. The Lord is good. Put themselves in all kinds of distress. I've seen people say, this is not where my mates are living. Then you move from where your mates, from where you are living to where your mates are living. They now realize that your the landlord is not your mate. You If you can pay the landlord, I have no problem. Your mates are living there. But if you have started negotiating, sir, please, then some things are happening. Something happened. I went home here that time, and then this will happen. First year, second year. Oh, boy. Just swallow your pride. Say, sir, I thought my mates were living here. I realize that now my mates are not near here at all. In due season, I'll be back. Don't step into a season that you're not ready for. The other day I was talking with one man. Let me just gist a bit. So when the man's office was just chatting about some things. And when he was describing that, maybe he goes to Abuja, you understand, where he stays. When you hear how much men are paying a night. You wonder, why are you paying that amount of money? You know, stay in a suite in Hilton in Abuja, you know, that kind of thing. And you hear serious pepper dropping. As you are hearing it, you understand why Judas said, why didn't we sell this? sir, you paid this amount of money? He said, no. Why not? He said, I only pay 30%. Assuming that the room rate is like 250,000 a night. He said, I pay 30%. How do you manage it? Oh, he said, I own an apartment, and he mentioned one, I won't tell you, give you names, somewhere in the U.S. Anybody that owns an apartment there, you're automatically a member of this particular club. And anywhere you go in the world with that card, you get a 70% discount on the top hotels. You know, some young men are following, saying, this is where big men roll. The men you are following, oh God. They have another saying in Western Nigeria. They say the elder knows what he has eaten before he says this one will be okay. You know, you serve a man food, small amount. He said, no, that will be not. He said he knows what he ate before he came. You two are joining him, say that will be all right. Hey, I'm with this. The Lord is good. What am I going to say? You don't use force to lift yourself to a level. Are you getting my point? You let God lift you by himself. You don't lift yourself. And how do you know God is lifting you? He said the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man sows into the ground. Amplified says, day by day he goes to sleep and he wakes up. He goes to sleep and he wakes up. He said the earth by itself produces. He himself does not know how. He said the earth produces like this. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the air. He now said, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I like that expression. He said, that's King James now, when the crop permits. That's from Mark chapter 4. He said, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. What I like about it is that we say, when the crop permits, and this is my best illustration, try and pluck a mango from the tree when the mango is not yet ripe. When the mango is not yet ready, it's hard for it to come down. But a time comes in which the rain will just threaten and breeze will blow and you just wait to start dropping. When things start working with little effort on your part, you know the crop is permitting. That's it. When there's so much struggle going on with it, you have not yet fulfilled the assignment of this season. Leave that season alone. I tell people those days, as a young man, they say, you don't have a car. I say, I can't, even if you dash it to me, I can't maintain it. I said, but one thing I like is that I could hire all the bus drivers in Lagos to drive me. It was very easy. How do you do that? Just go to the bus stop. Would you elect by you enter? If he breaks down the road, you come down, call another bus. Another driver at your service. Just be paying them small, small. It's perspective. It depends how you look at yourself. I see that I'm a blessed man. They're all serving me. Some will say, look at them, I'm suffering. My mates are inside Lamborghini. They can't have suffering. I don't look at it like that too. I look at it like, see, I don't have to wash the car. When they say there's fuel scarcity, you add small money and pay you. After, if I had the driver, wouldn't I pay him? The money I'll pay the driver, I'll be paying all the drivers in town. Take your portion, drive me from here to here. It's a level. It's perspective. Another scripture I love, he said, you will live in houses you did not build. Yes, I know what he was saying, literally. That the house become your own, it was not your labor. However, there's another part to it.
My landlord builds a house and I live in it. Is that not the fulfillment of the word of God? And he said, but you pay rent. Yes, it's called appreciation. Don't you appreciate your man of God? The man is blessing you. Do you know how much it costs to... Look, where I live in town. Go and price land there. I'm not exaggerating. At the beginning of the year, I just bless him. I say, sir, you have been a blessing. I brought this in appreciation. You can call it rent. That's your problem. But he's happy. I am happy. Everybody is happy. My children are happy. My wife is happy. And there is peace in the neighborhood. What are you looking for? And God forbid that is it, every blessing has its own problems. One of my friends, he lives in the U.S. One day he came to, I think it was in Nigeria, we were talking. So one day he was talking to, his father was at home that time. He was talking on the phone. That his father called him that the air conditioning in the house wasn't working. He said, this is the problem with owning the house. He said if it was those days that it was a tenant, I'll call my landlord. Are you getting my point? I know the way U.S. is, central AC everywhere. He lives in Texas and it's quite hot. That place was really, really hot that season. Humid also. So the AC must work. So he was on the phone trying to make sure that the AC is working. He told me, he said, look, Banky, when I was a tenant, this was not a problem. I will call my landlord. You'll be the one running up and down one looking for AC technician. He said, but now I've moved to my own house. Now AC is not working. I have to be the one looking for technician. God forbid, it won't happen to my landlord in Jesus' name. But if breeze comes and removes the roof, you know what? I'll just pack. Where if the house is my own? Where are you going to? Where a man's treasure is? There will his carpenter come. His money, everything will come there. There's a blessing every season in life. I told my wife the other day, I was looking for what to wear. I said, baby, there's a problem with having too many clothes. It's a problem. If you had one black suit and one navy blue one, you can easily choose. Either the navy blue one or the black one. But when you have turquoise, beige, you know, mauve, and you know those female colors, now say, no, you wore this one last week. Last time I went, I wore this one. Then you're not trying to remember. If I tell you this, you're going to laugh. Actually, I have to write down what I wore to preach. It's terrible. Before they start watching at home, say, this man, why is he always praying? What am I going to say? There's a blessing in every phase of life. You just have to learn how to appreciate it. There's a blessing. There's no phase of life you are in that there's no blessing inside. And the one you are looking to, that let me jump into that one. If you are not ready for it, you will now know that glory has weight. Some of these cars you are admiring, go and buy the tire. Just go and buy the tire. Some of these you are just sitting there, you are looking at admiring. Okay. I know what I'm saying. Look, there is every phase of life has problems. One of my guys the other day, you know, I used to like Mercedes-Benz cars and all of that. Then, my guy, his son bought him a brand new one, G something. He packed it at home and traveled. Went to work in the Middle East. He came back, tried to start the car. The car didn't start. He called his mechanic. That one came all the way from Nigeria. Looked at the car. Let's make a long story short. For that car to start again, 300,000 naira. Because one Lassa fever rat. Chop wire. They say it's one kind of suspension. Once the thing doesn't inflate and the car gets up, the car no go start. They had to remove that whole suspension. By the time they were done, the man shelled out 300,000 naira. He said, but the car is very nice. When it moves, okay, they move. I'm not following you. I'm looking at what? Nothing. This car was brand new. A few rats now came and said, let us make our abode inside the... Oh, God. You know, God has a way of leveling everybody. He said, the lizard is in king's palaces. No matter how good your house is, lizard go dey there. What gecko must dey. So, the rat entered his car. By the time they were done, 300K.
300K. Listen, let me just tell you, that's one problem you don't have. Say amen.
Amen.
It's a problem you don't have. However, there are people who regularly, that's not a big deal. The car is not starting. Why is it not starting? Why they are repairing, bring me another one? Are they bad people? No. They are in a phase of life. Are you getting my point? But my teaching is that, listen, don't struggle for the next phase. It's not your portion. What are you supposed to do? Make sure that where God has put you now, you do all the work, you learn all the lessons, execute all the assignments without pride. In his own time, in due season, he knows how to lift people up. I like the story of our current vice president. Why I like his story is because every day I see the man on TV. Have you noticed? He's always the one talking on economic matters. Have you noticed? He's always there talking. I was still watching him on TV, I think yesterday night or two nights ago. I was just looking at this Baba. I said, now, wow. He did not print poster. All the time they were joining that AD was becoming something, and then ACN was merging with CPC and they becoming what? APC. Nobody heard his voice. I didn't even know the man was still there. Then one day, they finally brought our current head of state out as their presidential candidate. And the man said that he will allow the Jagaban to pick his running mate. And because the president, then the candidate that time, is a Muslim from the north, he had to pick a Christian from the south. So the man looked to the left and looked to the right and looked for a man that he considered loyal. A man without big ambitions. So he picked this man and said, you will be the vice presidential candidate, the running mate to the president, presidential candidate. Before he knew what was happening, God said, all right, I've appointed this man as your next head of state. That was a few weeks after this man was nominated. Next thing we know is he's a vice president. I can't, unless the Lord spoke to him, a year before that, he did not dream he was coming back to politics. That is what, listen, God is preparing something for you also.
Amen.
You will also step into the place that he ordained for you also.
Amen.
Don't rush. Don't let people push you. Don't let pride talk to you. Pride is the one of the top, if not number one, sin of mankind. Pride. In fact, when Adam and Eve fell, that pride was what made them fall. What was the pride? Don't eat of this. It wasn't just about food. It wasn't nutrition. It was about who's in charge. Satan said, you will be like God. They began to aspire. You will be able to decide what is right and what is wrong. That was the cause of the fall. It was not about taste of a fruit. It was about who is going to be in charge. And that's why we went into all the troubles we went into. Because some people were aspiring for something that God had not yet given them. You can have desires, you can have prayers, but please, don't struggle for anything. David said, my eye is not proud, neither is my heart. Is it my eye is not haughty or my heart proud? I have not involved myself in matters too difficult for me. That's what David said. Doing this ministry work, I've been doing all this. If something is too difficult, I don't do. I don't mean we don't stretch. I get my point. It's not that we don't take things by faith. But when something becomes a matter of you take away the peace of mind I have, all the resources are no longer enough. One day, you know, because of because we're having problem with space here, all right? I said, okay, I was talking with Jonathan. Try and get space. Jonathan said, okay, say, okay, I think the best thing is to just get land and develop it. I said, Jonathan, it was for freedom that Christ has set me free. Is land good? Yes, it's good. Development is good? Yes, very good. I have a dream for what I call the Kingdom World Media Center. Bishop and I, we're already putting heads together what you look like. Now, dream is free. I said, Jonathan, that is a long-term solution to a short-term problem. It's not good. Find me a place that's already built that I can lease. We can rent. Is it wrong to build? No, it's not. Don't get me wrong. He said, when the crop permits, when the crop has not yet permitted, I'm not getting involved. David said, my eye is not haughty. My heart is not proud. I have not involved myself in matters too difficult for me. He said, like a weaned child with his mother, I have quieted my soul. Don't put me in distress. That's Psalm 131. He said, oh Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eye is haughty. Nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely, he says, I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, he says, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. I like the word hope. Hope means I have an expectation. One day it's coming. In its season. Everything has a season. And how do you know the season of something? It's when you put in a little effort, you start seeing the results. Are you getting my point? Until that time, whatever it is you are doing now, do with all your strength, do with all your might, do it well. 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 Do it with joy. Do it gladness. Not this painful endurance. What I mean that just because God kept me here, this is not where I'm supposed to be. Let's just be obeying God. You are disobeying. Rejoice and be glad. That's what we are saying. And I'm saying as a matter of fact, once you fulfill the spiritual requirements of that season, God will take you to the next season. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Once you fulfill the spiritual requirements of this season, God will automatically take you to the next. It's not because of a date you set by yourself. It's because you fulfill the core courses, all the courses you need to take in this season. When you've passed them, God now says it is time to leave this young man, to leave this young woman to the next season. That's what Christianity is about. That's what they call grace. That is what they call what? Grace. I don't understand repeating stories we have used again and again. Practical stories. You will see that, listen, you know, God has placed everybody in position in life to do their own assignment. What I mean is that what God wants to accomplish in your life, if it's going to take 10 years and it remains a year for him to do that thing, don't worry. He has placed people there in the last 9 years. They are working. I hope you get my point. They are working. They are building businesses. They are building ministries. They are building careers. They are building all kinds of things. When the season is... Did Joseph conceive Egypt? He didn't conceive Egypt. He was not a Pharaoh. He was nothing. Egypt was going on. They just brought him in, and in due season, they placed him where he was supposed to be. That is what we are saying. And that is how Christians... That's our perspective. That's our faith concerning the matter of seasons and concerning the matter of grace. We fulfill the assignment of God in this season. And in due season, he takes us into the next. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's go back. We're supposed to be reading something, right? Matthew 14. Remember, I started by saying the will of God and the plan, they may be different. The will is always there. I was saying last time that the Lord wants us, all right, to do what is necessary to bring his will or our experiences into alignment with his will. Now, let's read that story again because I want to just explain something from it. We read it last time, but we'll rush now because we read it slowly last time. That's the story of Peter. Now, if you read from verse 22, after they had finished settling the multitude, after they had fed the thousands, the Bible says he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And then he went up to the mountain to pray. Verse 24. The boat was already many stadia away from land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night he came to them walking on the sea, and they were afraid. In verse 28, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Now, why did I read this? It's a story we know very well, and it's a lesson we keep on drawing from. We can't draw enough from it. We keep on drawing from this story. And I'm talking about affecting the next season of our life, pouring water forward so we can step on cool ground. I want to just draw a lesson because we'll take some prayer. Let me see how our time goes today. I just want to draw a lesson from this one again for everybody. In life, storms will always arise. Times will come when there will be turmoil. You understand? Things will happen that will not be in accordance to our expectation. It will happen that you wished for money to come plenty. It comes small. Those days, they come. You may have plans, and the plans don't go the way you thought they should go. These things will happen again and again. Like I say all the time, Paul, a great apostle, he will tell you that there were times that there was no food. It was not as if he didn't want food, there was no food. He got to a point in life, he learned to stay independent of circumstances. He was so good at it, when he saw food, he did not rejoice. Are you getting my point? It happens. There are times you will see that Paul will say, "We wanted to come to you, we were hindered." Their desire was to come, but there was a hindrance in their path. The Lord Jesus, they came to him once, said, "Pay this tax." It wasn't, of course, he was not supposed to pay, but then Peter had committed him. And he said, "Okay, go ahead and pay." And he didn't have money. My emphasis is that if there was a time he did not have money. Don't assume that, it was the Lord, there was just money around. There were times he didn't have money. And that was why he said, "Go and fish." Do you follow? Yes. He told Peter, go and get a fish. Open his mouth. You will find enough money in his mouth for you and for me. I'm trying to emphasize that difficult times, they come. The Bible makes it clear that you may find a situation in which outwardly things look dry, just that God has a promise for those that seek him and those who are pleasing to him, that they will never lack in the midst of dryness. That's the point I'm trying to make. So things happen, you understand? But how do we respond? That's why I'm reading this again. When we're praying our prayers, how do we respond? I've been talking about total faith on Saturdays. I will get back to this matter later concerning how we operate total faith concerning finances. Because sometimes the problem is that Christians operate segmental faith concerning finances and they expect it to work. It doesn't work because the faith is not total. There are different aspects of life concerning finances. You need to operate the faith in every area. But I'm talking about the matter of prayer now, all right? So now, let's look at Peter. He came out of water, came onto the water, and he was walking nicely on the water. Then verse 30, the Bible says that he looked at the wind and became afraid. And then he began to sink. Now, what I want to bring out is the fact that he looked at the wind, he became afraid, and he began to sink. I want to emphasize to us again that we must be careful that when things occur, because like we've been referring to it, right now, international price of crude went down, very, very down, 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 down. Initially, those who were consuming the thing were happy. But now everybody is afraid. Because they've realized that even those, countries that normally buy, you should be happy when things are cheap. But they realize that it's causing economic downturn everywhere. Stock markets globally, as of this last week, this up to today, it's been going down and down everywhere. Whether it's in the US, in Europe, in China, of course in Africa, everywhere, everything is nosediving. And listen, everybody they fear? Retirement money, they inside. You see, some of these things you don't understand why people panic. There are old people that will not be able to eat if the thing continues like that. Because they worked for 30 years, all right, worked for 40 years and saved up their retirement money in that structure. I'll talk about that later. That's one thing about when I'm talking about total faith concerning finances. Listen, you can't put your hope in where Jesus says don't put your hope. Then when it's crashing, now start prophesying. It doesn't work like that. You can't put your hope there. They will ask, hey, in the name of Jesus, talk about God. You will not crash. You will not crash. I command you to come back up. The Lord said, what is going on there? I told you ahead, this breaking and steel, and moth does destroy. This is moth destroying. One to that come, and moth, thou shalt not destroy. Total faith concerning finances. We will talk about it. Very, very important. Be careful how you invest your money. Don't let the world teach you how to invest money. I mean that literally. Once they tell you it is safe, it's a lie. There is nothing that is safe outside God. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing. Let me stick with my message for today. But sometimes, that is my point I'm making. Now look at Peter. The fact is that Peter began to sink. Why was he sinking? He said, but seeing the wind, he became afraid. And the Lord Jesus told us that it was that fear. He said, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? That is, he sank not because things were difficult around. He sank because he became afraid. That's what I want to emphasize. That's why I was reading it. If you are not going to sink when things are shaky outside, as a child of God, you must be careful concerning what you are looking at. What happened to Peter? He was looking at the wind. When the Lord said, you know, the wind was there all the while. But he was so excited when Jesus said, do not be afraid, it is I. That word was very powerful. It attracted him. They started walking. The wind was there. The waves were going up and down. But as long as he was focused on the Lord, the man floated. Then the moment, whether it's curiosity, how come I'm floating? Maybe ice formed on the water. How come I'm floating? Did the wind stop? As the man began to look around for physical reasons why he was floating, he discovered fear coming into his heart. And as soon as fear entered, the man sank. I've been saying this since last year. No matter how much God is on your side, if you look at physical things and you allow fear into your heart, you will sink. Many people have obeyed God and yet they sank. And people are looking and saying, look at that man. He obeyed God. Look at his life right now. You forget that from the time after he obeyed, he was now out on the water. You know, when you leave the boat, obey completely. When you have left the boat, when you have left your secure job, are you getting my point? And you now say, the Lord led you to go and start your own enterprise. Oh boy, that enterprise, in the morning, prophesy over it. In the afternoon, find out divine precepts to operate it. Are you getting my point? At night, speak the word to it. Because you have left the boat. You have left the boat. You have to fight sinking with all your heart. And what I mean by fight sinking, I'm not saying look for another boat. I'm saying focus on the Lord Jesus. And this is the context in which I'm bringing up this matter today. And utter words. God is a school of prayer, all right? There are many areas. There are many areas. But the one I'm focusing on today is the matter of words that you speak. When this crisis began and Naira began to dive from 150, it crawled to 160, 170, 180, 190. That was 190. 180 was about 13 months ago. That was in December before this last one. December 2014. That was when it hit 180 something. I remember very well. And we're looking like maybe it will improve, it will improve. The thing didn't agree to improve. And as a last week, it hit 300. You understand? It just kept on going. And like I said, it's not negative prophecy. I'm not sure it's going to stop moving that way for a long time. All right? And there are reasons for that. I told my wife then, I said, listen, me, I have peace of mind in all of this. I have absolute peace of mind. I refuse to consider what would be the consequences. That's looking at the wind. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's looking at the wind. When you start considering consequences, you become afraid. And listen, your life is controlled by spiritual forces. When you become afraid, doors that the Lord will have opened for you, they will close. Favors that will have come your way, they will disappear. Ideas that the Lord will have given to you to help you, you know, bring forth a new dimension of operation in the midst of the calamity, it won't come. Like I found out once, when Abraham sent out Hagar and her son, bang, you can get the message. It's titled, "Open My Eyes, O Lord." What happened to Hagar? She lost hope and sat down. And then the angel of God heard a lad crying and all of that. And I came and showed her a well. Now, this point I'm making. Did the angel dig that well? Well, the Bible didn't say so. But this is what I want to bring out from there. That well was there. And as long as that woman was crying and despondent, she would not have seen the well. Many Christians who are afraid, there's a well that God knew you would be in the wilderness. God knew that difficult times were going to come. This is my persuasion. For that reason, he prepared wells for us to dig out, that is, draw water from. But as long as we are whining and complaining and not prophesying the right words, we don't discover the wells. No matter how difficult things are in the world, listen to me, it does not sink everybody. You will decide whether you are going to survive or you will not survive. And what God has given us is exceedingly great and precious promises to help us survive. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, everybody is complaining. Jobs are scarce. Money is this one. State governments are broke. The federal government is broke. There are words that don't come out of your mouth. There are things you don't focus on. In the midst of that, there are words you are supposed to utter all the time. That's what I'm saying about all of this. Concerning your business, focus on the Lord. Don't focus on what's going on around. Don't focus on sales. People say that January is normally very, very slow. Don't believe it. You know why I shouldn't believe it? Two reasons. One, it's not true. Two, it's not true in your case. Those are the two good reasons. Don't you like the reasons? No, number one is that a lot of times people just say things, they don't have statistics to go by, all right? To directly say that everybody just believes it. Then secondly is that even if it was like that, are you an average person? And it is to you according to your faith. What am I saying? Concerning your finances, it shall be well with you.
Amen.
Concerning your business, it shall be well with you.
Amen.
In this season, if men say there is a casting down for you, there will be what?
A
lifting up. Listen, even if though the young lions lack, they suffer hunger, you will not lack anything good.
Amen.
Let me prove to you that you won't. You came out this evening to come and hear the word of God. That's what it's called seeking the Lord. Sometimes they say, those who seek the Lord. Hey, that's what it means. People have gone to play, have gone to hear the word of God. People have gone to watch, who's playing who today now? I don't know. They're always playing. You know those people, they know how to keep human beings occupied. There's no day of the year. You won't find either Manchester United or Chelsea or Real Madrid or Liverpool. One of those boys are playing every day. Just to keep you paying money. But instead of going to watch, you are going to listen to the word of God. It's called seeking the Lord. That's what it means. Last time I talked about praying, why is my life at a standstill? I discussed it last time. I take time out to go and do proper fasting. I don't mean hunger. In fact, who told me something, Pastor, what you said? Jonathan, where is he? I thought I was the only one saying it. Pastor, what you said, listen, if you are fasting, give it to me again. What did he say? Good. Pastor, what you said, that. At least I'm not the one that said that one. Before they say, Pastor Banky, Pastor Paul, he said, if you are fasting, you can't concentrate again. You can't see straight. He said, go to the fridge. Get something, eat it, and continue the fast. When I heard it, I said, oh, Father, thank you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, this one is established. And more of you are believing it now, now that you have heard that testimony. That's what the man said. So we said that's one day for us believers. When we do that, with the mind that, God, I need to know, what is your plan? Which part of your will am I not walking in? It's called seeking the Lord. And the Bible says if you behave like that, you will never lack anything good.
So I say to you, you will not lack anything good.
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet. I want us to pray. Just give me a second. Let me dig out something from here. Remember, like I said last time, what we are doing is to pour the word of God ahead of us. Amen?
Amen?
Now remember, let me quickly say this before we start praying. I said this about 3 meetings ago, the first meeting of the year, that there are some things I want us to learn. Everybody declare after me. Say, Lord, I thank you. I call this grace to enter into his presence, okay? Or the righteousness of God. Say, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
Because I can come into your presence to pray.
I
thank you for the righteousness I have in Christ Jesus.
I thank you for the righteousness I have in Christ Jesus.
I haven't come in the power of my good works.
I haven't come in the power of my good
works. Or any righteousness that is derived from me.
Or any righteousness that is derived from me.
I have come because of grace and mercy.
I have come because of grace and mercy.
Which I have through Christ Jesus. Say, I have come in the name of Jesus.
I have come in the name of Jesus.
Say, I have come because I know you love me.
I have come because I know you love
me. I have come by faith.
I have come by faith.
I have come with the people of God.
I have come with the people of God.
Who are of the same faith.
Who are of the same faith.
I know my prayers are pleasant in your hearing.
I know my prayers are pleasant in your hearing.
And you grant all my requests.
And you grant all my requests.
This is the confidence I have towards you.
This is the confidence I have towards
you. That when I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. Say thank you.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Let me just remind us of why we did that. You know, it's very important we get these things clear in our hearts. Christians, don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. God is not answering you because of what you did. There are not many people saying this thing that I'm saying, and I have to continue saying it because it's the truth. I believe that God is counting on me and some other people to continue to declare it. There is a problem in the body of Christ today, and we are curing it by preaching the truth and by prayer, in which we are taught to approach God having done some things. Please, that's not Christianity. The only thing we can do is repent. When you are approaching God, you must never, ever feel you deserve anything because of something that you did. It is January now. All our churches, we do it, trying to make sure that everybody submits their January salary. See, it's true. If you give your first fruit, the rest of the year will be holy. It's a fat lie. I hope you understand it. It's not true. It's not scriptural. The principle of first fruit is just the first expenditure you make. That's the Bible. But actually, it's about acknowledging God. If you earn 100,000 naira, and you take the first 1,000 and say, before I spend anything, let me go and tell God, thank you. Let's get it clear. Please. If you carry your own and decide to help your neighbor who can't pay school fees, it's the same thing. Is it truth? I know people don't like me saying it. And let me tell you the truth. You are a giver, amen?
Amen.
Or if you are not a giver, you don't understand the word of God yet. Every Christian must be a giver. But when we are doing what we are doing, we are not doing those things so that we can go and say, God, now I have done. What are you going to do? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You want to give? You should not want to give. You should give. You are a member of a church. They are preaching the word of God. They have ministers that is the only job they do. For goodness sake, they too have to eat. They have to wear the kind of fine clothes you are wearing. They should drive fine cars. So their children should go to good schools. And they're not going to approach Dangote. Dangote's job is to build refineries and build cement factories, not to sponsor the gospel. The money comes from you and from me. So we must be committed and dedicated givers. I mean, you come to Kingdom World, nobody puts pressure on people, give money. But for goodness sake, we spend money. Preaching the gospel costs money. Are you getting my point? So every Christian should be responsible. However, you don't do those things because you want to ask God for something. The fact that you give does not mean God must give back to you. He can collect it and say it's my own. Say, God, you multiply it. I'm not in the mood. And that then hinders our faith. I keep on saying it. A Christian gives all the time, but please don't approach God and say, because I have lived righteously. I have done this. I didn't take bribe in the office.
That man who said he wanted to sleep with me, I give him one. I didn't agree. You know what Elihu said? Okay, I agree now. Elihu said it. That if you sin, your iniquity only affects men like you. It doesn't affect God. So you cannot come to him and brag on something that you did because it's not advantage to him. One day, one girl was sending text message to one brother that I got to know, and that she was always asking him for something because he preached to her. She come to church and stop following sugar daddy. The girl said, "You say I shouldn't follow sugar daddies again, but you are not there for me." I said, "God, why? Did, you know the kind you know they give banking? Because I will send you the text of the address of two politicians. Go and visit them. Three of you go to hellfire. I mean, your righteousness, how is it blessing me? It's your problem if you want to serve God. If you don't want to serve him, might go somewhere else. There are many billions of people on this earth who are looking for the direction, sheep without shepherd. Let me go and shepherd somebody who wants to be shepherded. So when we do what is right, I'm trying to say it's for our advantage. We don't go to God and start using that one to demand anything. That thing kills faith. We preachers preach it every day that people should do it. I keep on saying it. Some of you are tired of hearing me say it, but it's not because of you I'm saying it. It's for those who have not yet heard it. God does not do for you because you did for him. God does things for you because he loves you and because Jesus died for you and that you have agreed to follow this Jesus. And there are people who have not even agreed, still doing for two. So what, do you get my point? That's why we repeat this prayer all the time. I want you to put this in mind when you're approaching prayer. Declare it. Say, "Lord, I know I have given, but doesn't matter. I have come in the name of Jesus." Please, let's never forget it. In fact, let's just take that confession again. Let's just take it again. Say, "In the name of Jesus, I enter the presence of God as a renewed child of God. I have been made righteous by the power of the blood. I have not come in the power of my good works. I have not come in the power of any good I have done. I have come only because of grace and mercy, which I have through Christ Jesus. I have come in the name of Jesus." Say, "That is where my faith lies, and nowhere else. Not in my good works." Say, "Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for washing me clean. Thank you for making me worthy to stand in your presence. By the blood of Jesus. Say, I have been washed. I have been made righteous. I'm able to receive answer to my prayers. Because the Father loves me. And because I come in the name of Jesus." Amen. The Lord is good. I just wanted to, that's a kind of preparation, all right? I want us to just do something quickly before we declare the word and we'll close, all right? Based on what we have already. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, what I want us to do, let's invoke the blessings of God over provisions for our families, for our lives, all right, in this particular year, all right? The Bible says that the word of God, the Bible says that the blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrows, all right? So, in the name of Jesus, we are going to declare the word of God, amen?
Amen.
All right, let's declare like Moses. Say, "In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed from above.
I am blessed from
say,
above.
The Lord is my shepherd. And I'm never in want.
He
makes me lie down in green pastures.
He
restores my soul.
He
renews my soul.
He
guides me along the path of righteousness. For his name's sake." Say, "In the name of Jesus,
I am rich.
In the name of Jesus, poverty is not my portion." Say, "This is the grace of the Lord Jesus. Even though he was rich, yet for my sake, he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. I declare, in the name of Jesus, 2016 and beyond, poverty and lack have ended in my family. The Father supplies all my needs, and he knows them even before I ask him. Despite what is going on around, the Lord supplies my need. While men are sinking, I'm in the boat of the Lord Jesus. While men are sinking, I'm walking on the water with him. Say, in the name of Jesus, he loves me more than the grass of the field. He loves me more than the birds of the air.
Therefore, I am well clothed.
And all my needs are supplied. Say
in the name of Jesus.
God supplies all my needs.
Even though the economies of the nation may seem shaky.
He said, this is the word of the Lord.
Those who fear him,
for them there is no want.
The young lions do lack and suffer hunger.
But those who seek the Lord
shall not be in lack of any good thing.
Therefore, I declare,
I will not lack anything good.
The provision for my household is not based on the surrounding economy.
My provision is not based on the economy of the nation.
It is based on the grace of God.
So I say,
my God
shall supply
all my needs
according to his riches in glory,
not according to the economy of the nation.
Therefore, I declare,
my business prospers.
I have favor.
People will show me favor.
The ravens will bring me bread if necessary.
Food will multiply for my household.
Say, I focus on the kingdom of God
and on his righteousness.
And all other things are added to me.
I am not afraid
because my God is above all.
I am hidden inside him.
And he supplies all my need.
Say, he will cause prosperity to flow towards me like a river.
And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Say, I will not run up and down.
To the north or the south.
Home or abroad.
Seeking food and prosperity.
I will locate where God wants me to be.
And there he will send his blessings.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, like Isaac,
I will sow in my land,
and in the same year,
I will reap a hundredfold.
I will become rich
and grow richer
and become very wealthy.
Doors of opportunity,
they will open for me,
even in the midst of hardship.
The Lord will grant me the spirit of faith
to take hold of all my opportunities.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's give him a say, Lord, thank you.
Say, Lord, thank you. That is the antidote for the economic noise you hear outside.
That's how we handle it. It's the word of God.
It's the word of God.
Just thank him.
Thank him.
Because he will make all grace abound towards you.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
And you will abound to every good work.
The Lord's supplies is not dependent on what's going on outside.
God saying, right now I am disciplining the nations.
I'm disciplining even the church.
I am disciplining the nations.
I am causing discipline to be learned by even my people.
But for all those who fear me, they will not lack.
For all those who fear me, they will grow stronger.
I will cause wealth to change hands.
I will cause control to change hands.
Even in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of economic hardship, those who fear me, however, have nothing to fear.
They have nothing to fear.
Those who love me have nothing to fear.
Those who seek me will never be in lack of anything good.
I will supply all their needs. I will protect them in the morning, at noonday, and at night.
No evil will befall them, and no plague will come near their dwelling place.
That is the word of God.
Let's say, Lord, we give you thanks.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.